This episode of the Inner Ho Uprising is sponsored by Dipsy.
This episode of the Inner Ho Uprising is also available for your viewing pleasures on YouTube. If looking at people while they podcast is your thing, then you can check the YouTube link in the show notes to gaze along as we talk our shit. Inner Ho Uprising. Welcome to the Inner Ho Uprising, the podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of me, Sam, one black, non-monogamous, pansexual, feminist, ho, and international award-winning podcaster. Motherfucker.
You better fucking tell him, okay?
Who lives...
It's in the title, B.
That's facts. Who lives and records in New York City and whose pronouns are she and her.
And me, Rodeca, a fat, black, non-monogamous, existentialist femme whose life is a series of coincidences that somehow landed her here.
Here.
In the presence of an award-winning, yes.
Yes, nigga. But on a critically acclaimed podcast. Niggas don't want to give Inner Ho Uprising awards, but we are critically acclaimed, motherfucker.
That's fucking right. And my pronouns are also she and her.
It's greatness. You're listening to a great show, everybody.
You are.
This is the first time you listen to this. This is a great show.
What a time to be alive. That's a fact. I'm happy for you.
I mean, it is a simulation, so I just entered the correct cheat code.
50-50.
In order to get this award. All right. Every episode of this show works like this. Myself and my lovely rotating co-hosts talk about sex, love, and dating as it pertains to current events in the world, our lives, and yours. And occasionally we hit you with interviews with insightful folks or do deep dives on topics of our choice in particular episodes. This episode in particular, we're talking about safe, happy holidays, the self-proclaimed badly behaved gay Nigerian fighting to end SARS, queer antagonists Egyptian police departments, lesbian and gay penguin babies, horror films about killer weaves and sex demons, a little bisexual insecurity, and much more.
And if you would like to follow along with the conversation had in this podcast on social media, you can do so by using the hashtag Inner Ho Uprising so we can see it, and the hashtag Pod In so other people can see it. And if you would like to follow us on social media, you can do so at Inner Ho Uprising without the G on Twitter, Inner Ho Uprising on Instagram and Facebook. And you can join our Facebook group by searching Inner Ho Uprising, CUMMUNITY.
Also, if you want to pay us to speak virtually at your school or conference about sex positivity, black feminism, podcasting, or other kinds of topics that we discuss on this here show, or to have us host a consent, pleasure, or dating workshop for your organization, we would love to do all those things. And you can book us by sending us a line to ihupodcast@gmail.com. That email is in the show notes. Now we're going to get into a segment that we call Ho of the Week. Ho of the Week is where we shout out the homies who have supported Inner Ho Uprising in the past week. Hoes of the Week get special nicknames, and the game, if they choose to participate, is to guess the meaning behind their nicknames. This week we got Christina M, aka Braithwaite, who became a patron on Patreon. We got Jack S, aka Colonel, who became a patron on Patreon. We got Wendy N, aka Blow Trees, who became a patron on Patreon. We got Amanda, aka The Wall, who became a patron on Patreon. We got Tina L, aka Mango, who dropped their pledge but stuck around, and we love to see that on Patreon. We got Jesse M, aka Springfield, who also became a patron on Patreon. And we got L $Fins, who left us an Apple Podcast review, and that review is so nice, so we're gonna read it. The title is Amazing and Informative, which is what we are on this here show.
There you go. In life.
And it says, I was just told about this podcast from a close friend of mine. I've been going through their backlog like wild. These folks are hilarious, smart, and they make my commute 10 times better. It's a must listen. Thank you, L.
Fins. There's something really intimate about the fact that you listen to us on your commute. It's just like, hey, everything sucks, but you know,
yeah,
I got these like, hoes in my ear.
During the worst of times, you're experiencing the best of times. If you would like to be a hoe, we can get a cool nickname of your own. Here are some things that you can do. You can leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. You can feature us in an article you've written or shout us out on social media. These are non-monetary ways that you can support us. We love monetary and non-monetary support, and we understand that in these very, very uncertain times, it gets more uncertain every week.
Every day.
Every hour. Monetary support is not feasible for many folks. Please do not spend your last dollars on us. Put you and yours first. That is a command and a demand. But if you can spare some change, you can donate to us on PayPal by going to paypal.me/innerho, or you can become a patron by going to patreon.com/innerhouprising. Also, a reminder that if you do become a patron on Patreon for $2 a month, you can participate in things like our Slack chat, our patron-only film nights, and for $5 a month, you can join our Monday night Zoom hangouts. And at any Patreon tier, you can receive access to our episodes a few days early and entry to our workshops and parties. This whole past week, we've been doing horror film patron-only film nights. I'll talk about those a little bit later, but they've been super fun. So get on Patreon if you want to have fun with the hoes. We are going to get into self-care tip of the week now. That is the segment where we give you some tips on how to care for yourselves, because you deserve to be cared for very freaking much. So this week's self-care tip is how to make socially distanced holidays actually feel special, which is the title of an article that was written in Vice. And this self-care tip is largely, it's just me reading that article. Not me reading the article, but I'm going to pull a lot from the article. So that was written by a person named S. Bear Bergman. I'm going to link to the actual article in the show notes because his perspective is pretty interesting. He is Jewish and he is a practicing Jewish person. So all of their like major holidays like Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah all happened already. So they had to figure out how to do these things before everybody else's holiday season. Like we got Kwanzaa and Christmas and New Year's and all that kind of stuff. So I'm going to link to the article in the show notes, as well as an episode that he was a guest on the podcast Today Explained, which talks all about how to celebrate holidays, or that episode talks all about how to celebrate holidays during this second wave of the pandemic that we're probably about to go through. So here are some things from the article. So S. Bear Bergman says, do something special. Actually do something. So don't just lay in bed because you can't be physically present with your peoples. So let's say it's Halloween. Wear a costume on Halloween night, because why not? Light your Kwanzaa candles. Denounce colonialism and indigenous genocide on Thanksgiving. You know, shit like that. A little bit more on that later. Don't underestimate how great a Zoom holiday can be. Zooms be lit.
Yeah.
I think Zooms just be lit in general. They're fun times. Plan intergenerational video cooking classes. This was a good one. So like, for example, if your aunt's mac and cheese is lit, ask her for, you know, the ingredient list or whatever. Maybe not the recipe, because, you know, niggas don't like to codify recipes and fucking share that shit. So get all the ingredients or whatever. Then everybody get on Zoom at like, I don't know, 5 p.m. And then you watch her make it on Zoom, and you make it along as she's making it.
Yes.
That is so cool. That I thought that
awesome.
Was such a great idea.
Yes.
I would love to do that.
Especially when they go like, oh, you just put a dash or like a sprinkle of paprika or some shit. And you can watch them on Zoom actually pour it out. And you're like, okay, so I'm going to just cross
so
this out here.
So that's your definition of dash.
And that's what it is. It's something about watching it and everyone doing it at the same time. That's really fun.
Yeah. Here's another fun one. If your family or other folks who you like to gather with are local, you can do a drop-off potluck. So mm-hmm. you make a big batch of your special chili or oxtail or whatever the fuck it is that you make, and you drop it off to your peoples, and then everyone who is consistent of your peoples drops off their dishes, and you all plate it and whatever, microwave it, heat it up or whatever, and then you all eat it on Zoom together. So it's like, oh yeah, this still like you could still be like, oh man, you really put your foot in this or whatever. Yeah, and then you get to like taste other people's cooking, which is really one of the best parts about Thanksgiving. Here's another one that I thought was nice. Add a sense of togetherness and structure to video gatherings with readings or questions prepared in advance. So we give some examples. I thought this one was cool. Add a land acknowledgement. For example, I am living on Lenape land, which is actually true. I think most of New York is Lenape land. Or reading of the true history of Thanksgiving / Day of Mourning to your feast. So there's like an app, actually. Tea with Queen and Jay recently talked about this on an episode, and I originally saw Juju from A Little Juju podcast post about this. There's like a thing, and I'll put it in the show notes, but there's like a number you can text where it's like you type in your zip code and they're like, oh, this is the indigenous land that you are actually living on. So like even just start to get the conversation going to family members who might just be like, what? You want to take away my Thanksgiving? Why? And you just like start talking. They're
to
like,
educate.
Oh, that's why. Yeah.
We're not taking away from it. We're giving it a new meaning.
There you go.
Meaning is kind of shitty.
Meaning is blood, colonialism, patriarchy, racism. Nah, let me stop. But that is what it is, though.
I would say, don't. I mean, stop, but it's the truth. Nothing's wrong with what you're saying.
Invite everyone to respond to questions. So not just, quote unquote, what are you thankful for on Thanksgiving, but what do you hope to be thankful for next year? Or how can we support Native or Indigenous people in their struggle for land rights? Or like, for example, for Christmas or New Year's, questions like, what will you work for this year? What do you want to do to end this year? What do you want more from this year? And then he says, even little kids can answer. I'm like, I think little kids should always be able to answer.
Like, why? If we were asking certain questions, little kids would be like, nah, that's not for you, youngin.
Yeah.
What are you grateful for this year? Nah. You ain't grateful for nothing. Grateful for these nuts. Like, I don't know. Maybe it's an easier question than he thinks. Because people underestimate
kids, how smart kids can be. Yeah. I don't know. I like those also because a lot of them are like very future facing and it feels like there is no tomorrow a lot of the times in this shit. So it's nice to even engage in that kind of headspace.
And this might not be the year you want to reflect back on necessarily.
That's a good point. Let's just look forward.
You know, we made it. If you made it, we made it. But at the same time, it's like, maybe I just want to. 2021, I know that new year, everybody's going to be screaming a little different, like, 2021, don't do this to us, please. So I can see it definitely being future forward and more fun.
Yeah. Here's some other suggestions. He says, draw names in advance and have everyone give a 2-minute toast to another guest. That is mad fucking sweet. Give everybody their roses. But make sure everybody's name gets pulled so everybody actually gets a chance.
It's just one person or like three people.
Everybody's like, we love Auntie Sandra or whatever. Like, damn.
And that's it.
Yeah. It's the best part of the family. Here's another nice one. Ask your older relatives to tell stories about their first airplane ride, first telephone they had at home, first date, first job. How much did things cost in blah, blah, blah year? What do they remember about what they ate or wore or heard or saw? And that type of shit will get people talking. Because, you know, it'd be some elders who are like, I don't really want to tell you my business and what's in the past is in the past. But if you get it from like those particular angles and it gets them in like this kind of nostalgic mood,
it all comes pouring out. Exactly.
They'll be
exactly.
chatting. And then with their consent, now might even be a good time, especially with Zoom, how you can just record a Zoom call. Mm-hmm. Record your fucking elders, man. With their consent, but like record them because they have stories for days and you don't want them to be forgotten. You don't want them to be forgotten. A couple of other things that Bergman says, dress up and feel cute, even if it's from the waist up. I know personally I'm wearing pajama pants down here, but this is a nice shirt. This is not a...
As I sit here like...
That's a nice hoodie.
Yeah.
Lifeguard. Are you a lifeguard?
It's like a little... I don't even know how to swim.
So you're just lying to people?
I'm just lying to everyone.
That's okay.
I won't wear this around a pool because that could have potentially disastrous results.
Just like, help me, nigga, and you're like, I can't.
Yeah.
Honor your elders by staying apart. Remember that it is a pandemic. If you got to see grams or whatever, quarantine for 14 days first. You know, at least. And then this last bit I thought was nice. You know, reimagine how you imagine what a holiday is. Do something else that helps you feel connected to other people. You don't have to drive anywhere or cook or clean up after 24 people this year. Use that time. Do a puzzle or play a game with your housemates. Write paper letters or draw pictures to send to friends and family. Collaborate on a fun photo shoot or an all-family TikTok dance challenge, or even take a walk slash ride slash roll to look at some plants and birds and see if you can figure out what they're called. When you get home, put up your feet and call one of your one or two close pals for a long catch up chat. What is wrong with me today? For a long catch-up chat. For a long catch-up chat. The silver lining to missing out on the casual "you look great" and "hey, how have you been"s from distant relatives and church acquaintances this year is that you can take the time back to focus on the people who are really important to you. You can be mad intentional about it.
Yeah.
It's cool.
That's good.
Yeah. And yeah. Like sometimes holidays are like, oh, I'm so glad that I got to see this portion of family, but oh man, it sucks that I can't see this portion of family. But now that being virtual is like something that's accepted, which it should have been beforehand, but now it's like, oh yeah, Zoom is actually a thing we can do. Like maybe you can actually have whatchamacallit, have a Thanksgiving or Christmas dinner with your aunt who lives in Hawaii, even though she never gets to make it to the dinner in Queens. So thank you, S. Bergman, for that. All right, let's get into Bay of the Week now, the segment where we talk about people who are cool and attractive. Who are we talking about this week?
We are talking about Matthew Blaze. Their pronouns are he and they. They describe themselves as a proud, non-binary, radical feminist and also a badly behaved gay person in Nigeria. They are a LGBT plus activists and were named a young leader of 2020 by the global advocacy group Women Deliver. So I came across them during my research on one of today's current event topics. They live in Lagos, Nigeria, and they shared their experiences with SARS on Instagram, as well as being featured in Pink News and Out magazine. I'll talk more about their personal experiences, obviously, because they're on the front lines of what's going on and what's been on the news this week. And I think they're also dope and attractive, and I appreciate the work that they're doing for queer lives. So after the Lekki Tollgate massacre, Blaze began working as a part of the Safe HQUSE. It's pronounced Safe House, but it's like headquarters for the HQ. The Safe House Project, which is supporting displaced queer protesters and survivors of the Lekki Tollgate massacre with accommodation, medical support, and other vital needs. The project is accepting donations and asks that those who wish to support contact directly via Instagram. But they are dope, and I will talk about them more later, so kind of seems kind of brief because you're like, why are they dope? But I really got into this story, so we're going to talk about all of that in a little bit.
Okay. So, wow. Yeah. That is amazing work that they're doing, and they are also attractive, which is quite...
It's always a plus.
Yeah, it's always a plus. But I just think like I have a deep reverence for all of the Nigerian folks and the queer Nigerian folks who are on the front lines of the hashtag NSARS, hashtag NSWAT movement. I just think they're like incredibly brave. Just like sick and tired of the shit and trying to make some change. And it's just like very scary. And very disheartening to see the kind of violence that they've been met with from the state, you know?
Yep.
That shit is very disturbing. Let's get into more violence from the state that is inflicted to the people, particularly queer people. I shine bright, and all my different colors, all my different colors, colors. We shine bright. In a segment that we like to call Fuck That, which is our current event segment, and Rodeca is going to get into how Egyptian police are using dating apps to find and imprison LGBT plus people, and we're going to give you a content warning for abuse, torture, suicide, rape, and we ask that you please check the show notes to see what time code to skip to avoid this particular segment. All right, go for it.
As Sam mentioned, the article name is Egypt Police Using Dating Apps to Find and Imprison LGBT plus People. It's an article by Gemma Fox on independent.co.uk. So security forces are entrapping Egyptians by using dating apps like Grindr. They create fake profiles that they use to meet LGBT plus people, and then when they meet up with them, they arrest them. They then unlawfully search the victims' phones and use the information from the apps to keep them detained and bring charges against them. Egyptian law does not explicitly criminalize homosexuality, but it does have several provisions that criminalize any behavior or the expression of any idea that is deemed immoral, scandalous, or offensive to the teachings of a recognized religious leader. So according to a 2013 survey by the Pew Research Center, 95% of Egyptians believe that homosexuality should not be accepted by society. So public morality and public order-based laws have been used against LGBT plus people, as well as anyone who supports these attitudes. So after they find and they meet up with people from these apps, they throw the individuals into jail and subject them to torture and abuse and incite fellow inmates to abuse them as well. So Yasir, who's 27 and their pronouns is he and him, told Independent about his experience with the Egyptian police. He said, when they came back with the police report, I was surprised to see the guy that I had met on Grindr is one of the officers. They beat me and cursed me until I signed papers that said I was practicing debauchery and publicly announcing it to fulfill my unnatural sexual desires.
Quote unquote.
Quote unquote, yes. The organization Human Rights Watch has documented cases of torture, including severe and repeated beatings and sexual violence in police custody, often under the guise of forced anal exams or virginity tests, quote unquote, around virginity tests. Police and persecutors have also inflicted verbal abuse, extracted forced confessions, and denied detainees access to legal counsel and medical care. A political activist and transgender woman, Malek El Kashif, pronouncing it to the best of my ability, they are 20 years old, and she said that she was arrested and put in a cage-like cell the size of a freezer after attending a protest in March 2019. Security forces questioned her about her private life, her sex reassignment surgery, and her relationship with other activists. She said, this is her quote, I suffered the worst verbal abuse I had ever encountered by police officers, and they forbade me from going to the bathroom for 2 days. They subjected me to a forced anal exam, and they sexually assaulted me, end quote. Human Rights Watch interviewed 15 people, 8 were victims of sexual violence, and 6 were forced to undergo anal examinations. Virginity and anal tests constitute cruel, degrading, and inhuman treatment that can rise to a level of torture and sexual assault under international human rights law. That's a quote by Human Rights Watch, or HRW. So these attacks are a result of a fierce anti-LGBT crackdown in retaliation for the protests that emerged after what is known as the Rainbow Flag Incident. So the Rainbow Flag Incident, or someone, if you might heard of name Sarah Hegazy. Mm-hmm. Sarah Hegazy was attending a rock band, Mashru Leela's, that's the name of the rock band, a concert in 2017 where she and a number of other Egyptian youth, they raised rainbow flags to support the Lebanese band openly gay singer Hamed Sino. A photo of her with the flag began to circulate on social media, and Egyptian TV hosts themselves began to incite against Egyptian LGBT communities and against those who raised the flags in specific. The hosts urged the Egyptian state to take immediate actions against anyone who was involved in the incident of raising the rainbow flags during the concert. And we even went as far as to share personal information of some of the people who raised the flags. Mm-hmm. As a consequence of this campaign by the Egyptian media, the Egyptian state started to arrest a number of individuals based on their actual or perceived sexual orientations and gender identities, whether from the streets or dating apps or even from their houses. Between September 25th and the end of November 2017, they ended up arresting at least 85 people, and many of them were subjected to the same abuse and the same sexual violence that I mentioned earlier. Sarah was one of those individuals, and according to the New York Times article titled Arrested for Waving a Rainbow Flag, a Gay Egyptian Takes Her Life, written in June 2020. This is directly from the article. I didn't change anything. She was detained by Egypt's authority and tortured with electric shots. She has been charged with inciting debauchery, and in custody, she was molested by female cellmates in police order. She was then transferred to solitary confinement. After 3 months of confinement, she was bailed upon pressure from Western and South American diplomats. Sarah then fled to Canada, fearing prosecution, and was granted political asylum. It was there that she died by suicide in June 2020. The reason of her suicide was notified as severe depression due to her past life trauma. Mm. So her death was reported across a range of international news outlets in 2020, with tributes to her activism being a recurring theme, with the lead singer of the band himself, Haned Sino, paying tributes and composing a song based on the words written by Hegazy shortly before her death. And there was a wave of international support and solidarity from everyone, but because that happened, Egypt decided to do even harsher crackdowns and retaliation, basically saying, like, you see it, we're not unapologetic, and now that you guys are saying anything, anybody basically who came forward who might have been in hiding because they felt like this was their moment in the sun, mm-hmm. they're now cracking down even more.
That's actually, like, the sad, maybe not life cycle, but cycle or push and pull that mm-hmm. comes with just, like, actually coming to equality. And I think we're, like, really seeing shit like that to different degrees all over the world at this point. Like, niggas get buck, and by niggas I mean my niggas, like the people who I fuck with, like the people who are on the right side of history. Mm-hmm. And because of that, like, people who are on the wrong side of history get even bucker, and it just gets, like, increasingly more violent until things come to a head. So I definitely think that's what's happening in Egypt.
It's happened 3 years ago, but it's trickled into today,
right? Especially because she had just passed away a couple months ago. Yes, which exactly. I remember when that happened, and when you started talking about her, I was like, oh, yeah, that happened, like, last year, and you said June, and I'm like, yo, this year has been too fucking long, son. It really felt like last year.
And it was literally, like,
four months ago? Yeah.
It was 4 months ago.
Oh, my God.
And, like, that's unfathomable, right? Like, but it was this year, so shit is really happening at all times. Yeah. So when we actually looked at this article, Sam had mentioned that there was a connection to SARS. So I wanted to look at that as well, obviously, because that's something that's relevant to what's happening now. Well, they're both happening now, but it's something that's definitely on social media. So you may have seen Nigeria and SARS, or the Special Anti-Robbery Squad, a lot in the news lately because of the NSARS hashtag on social media. Attention to the movement skyrocketed after Nigerian soldiers opened fire on a peaceful demonstration in Lagos. Please read up and educate yourself on this. This is, like, not even close to the tip of the iceberg. I didn't go into detail about it because it's very much a hot topic, and I think that everyone's talking about it. But because I'm discussing the connection between SARS and Egypt, but please don't let this be the only, like, this is all, please look it up. Please look into this, read about it, and know about it.
So you can hear more about the hashtag NSARS movement as it pertains to queer people by listening to some Bad Bitch Brigade episodes. So I know that Queen and Jay did it on Tea with Queen and Jay. I'll link that in the show notes. And Bag Ladies did it on their most recent episode. I'll link that in the show notes.
SARS has a connection with abusing LGBT youth. SARS police unit has routinely abused, humiliated, and denies rights to members of the queer community. Gay men, lesbians, and trans people, or anyone within the LGBT community, are harassed and are one of the primary targets of the police and are often assaulted and killed in Nigeria, a country regarded as one of the most homophobic in the world. In northern Nigeria, homosexuality is legally punishable by death. In the rest of Nigeria, it is punishable to up to 14 years of imprisonment. Pew Global Attitudes reported in 2007 that 97% of Nigerians' residents believe that homosexuality is a way of life that society should not accept, and it was the second highest rate. Mali is number one of non-acceptance in the 45 countries surveyed.
Do you know what those 45 countries were and why they only chose 45 countries? Is it the countries where it's illegal?
No, USA is on there, like France, Egypt, because I also use Pew Global Attitudes, the most recent one for homosexuality, and they're a little further up, but they're on there on the top. I guess maybe that was just the way they got the most data. It's a really long, like a really extenuating is not a word. Extenuating.
Extensive.
That's not the word either. Extensive. Woof.
It's late. It's a Sunday.
We're balanced. That's what it is. You're here. I'm here. It's not just me alone. But yes, it's a very long. It's lengthy. I'm not sure why they only did 45. I think they did.
They're like these major... are the 45 most homophobic that's countries. It. Let's talk about it. Let's, but then why stop at 45 and not 50?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's just an odd number, but that's what they got. Sure. So of the 45, it was number they were number two. Mm. So SARS follows a similar routine as Egypt when detaining LGBT people. Mm. In a Pink News article, activist Matthew Blaze, oh, you might have heard that.
Shout out to the homie. Maybe. But not really. We don't know them.
We want to know you, though. You're a nice person. Well, you seem like a nice person. So they talked about their own experiences with SARS. So this is where I had gotten into my research. And then I was like, oh, I looked into this person and I really got interested in them. So they were once stopped by four armed police officers while walking to the beach. And they were told they were walking like a woman. When they were asked what crime they committed, they were told it was perceived homosexuality. So officers tried to.
I'm sorry. The levels of wild that is just like. Like, that's like levels upon levels of wild. Like,
could you, and it's just like, it's almost
corrupt politicians are actually out here like committing crime towards the proletariat, but you're out here arresting people for perceived homosexual. How is that even, how is anything perceived a crime? How is anything perceived a crime? The transphobia, the homophobia. Man, shit's rough.
Okay. And officers tried to make them open their phone. They said, I didn't open my phone because they are able to blackmail you and track other gay people on your list, Blaze explained. After Blaze refused, they were pushed into a police van and detained. The officers had said something about Blaze having maggots in their anal cavity and that they were going to check it because that's what happens when you sleep with men. You basically, and that's why they, that's one of the reasons why they said they were going to check their anal cavity for that.
Yeah, because I didn't get those. I didn't get those when it, in regards to the Egyptian police either.
So they're checking.
Like, what are you trying to see?
So it's obviously them extorting their power in some fucking weird way. Not weird way, just a disgusting way where they're just like, I've noticed also a trend that it's just like, okay, this is a gay person or a lesbian person, so you specifically have a female officer come and do it. And it's like, you're condemning this, but you're also kind of like making it into something like two women on each other, because it's just like, yeah, this is what you like, kind of.
Yeah, it's very they're disturbing. Like,
exactly.
Yeah, they're, yeah, I think we can call that rape. They're raping them, but it's not... Like, because corrective rape is also like a thing in, yes. Just like amongst populations that are extremely homophobic, not saying like Africa is any more homophobic than places in Europe and America and all that kind of stuff in the Americas. But
yeah,
like corrective rape is a phenomenon that's seen amongst the like dire, like I'm extremely homophobic. But this isn't even corrective rape.
And that's what I was thinking, too. Even as I was reading it, it was very much like, it sucks that, not normalized, but very much like you said, corrective rape, you think to like a man. A
yeah, just to define person. That, like, that's like, oh, I'm raping someone with the intention of them not being homosexual anymore. That's
exactly
the quote unquote purpose of corrective rape.
And that's what my mind went to, because that's portrayed a lot. Mm-hmm. And it's just like something where you kind of like automatically go to that. So it's very interesting and doubly sick that it's literally the opposite. It's like these officers were men, and then they're like, oh, I'm gonna check your anal cavity because that's what, like, there's maggots that grow in there. But it seems almost like repressive of their own nature, and they're just trying to
yeah,
like, put that on.
That's something that
else.
I was thinking too, and I hate falling into that trope. Because it's seen so often where it's like, ah, this person's being homophobic because deep down they're gay. But I don't know what's happening here. I don't know why that's happening. So
it's also because sodomy is legal. So, and that's how they legitimize, like, the they have stoning.
Wait a minute.
That's what
okay,
the death
so
is.
Wait, are you talking about Nigeria now or Egypt?
I'm talking about Nigeria.
Okay. Is sodomy, never mind. What I was really just trying to ask was like, why the fuck? Because it's all bad and like disgusting and violently homophobic and violently like gay antagonistic and stuff like that. But I didn't get in Egypt when they were searching the anal cavities of like lesbians.
No, so that was kind of put together. They're doing virginity tests on people with vaginas, and for people with just anuses, they're doing anal testing.
What the fuck is the point of the
virginity test have to do with anything? Exactly.
This whole shit is like, niggas is just actually committing abuse and harm and being gross. Because there's no like, we're trying to find logic in like some disgusting shit. And something that,
like, even if we do find it, what? You know what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah, and literally the first line is I found it. It says literally like they're trying to find proof of homosexual conduct, but there's no legitimacy to it.
And like, what are you going to do? You're not a fucking doctor. Are you looking for like small tears? Like that's the only thing that you can really find. And as a cop, I don't really know what device or equipment you have for that. And then also, why is this illegal?
And it's very legal. Yes.
Okay. All right. You want to get back to Nigeria?
Yeah, because I was Googling it, and like literally the first line is like, none of this has any type of scientific basis. It's just supposed to be an overall thing of this is why I'm abusing someone. So back to what we were saying, they threatened Blaze, and then they dragged them by their hair and threatened to put them in jail where they would be beaten and killed without anybody ever finding out. Fortunately for Blaze, police grew tired and allowed them to leave, but many others are not so lucky. Incidents like these are rarely reported because of Nigeria's overall anti-LGBT plus attitudes. The only depictions of queer people in Nigerian media are negative ones, and discrimination extends to within the protest movements. That's why it's hard to find like statistics, because like obviously they're fudging the numbers. Obviously shit is going down that we don't know about, but it's also like it's not something that's considered bad or taboo by the overall public. So it's not something that would be like
quantified.
Ooh, you are an amazing person. So NSAR's protests have resulted in further violence against LGBT plus people. So queer protesters at NSAR's protests have been verbally assaulted for carrying pro LGBT signs
by other people, like other protesters,
by other people who are out there. Yes,
man, plights are really global. That is like, plights are really global, because that is like the same shit. And not to compare what's happening with NSAR. I mean, there's comparison to be made, but not to say that it's the same as our movement for liberation, specifically as it pertains to like police violence in the criminal justice system. But that is the same shit that's happening here. Where like you are trans or perceived as trans or perceived as queer in some type of way at a protest. And niggas will be like, the fuck? Or look at you some type of way. Like, there's this whole episode of Marcia's Plate where Mia talks about, like, her getting into, like, a verbal thing with these people because she had a sign that said, I think, like, the front of the sign was, like, just an affirmation of, like, blackness in general and, like, the entire black liberation, and the back of the sign was also something like, but, like, don't forget about me. Like, I'm black and I'm trans, so stop fucking around with me, like, in my own community. And people were, like, took offense to that. So...
And there was another one with Indy. I'm pretty sure it's India Moore, if I believe that's what their name is. India Moore, yes, from Pose. They had a whole spoken word thing where they're like, can I come too? And it was really, and it rang very true to like, I want to be a part of this movement too, but my own brothers and sisters and my fellow people
Sibs.
Don't stand up for me. Yeah. But yeah, this is hard to like digest, but educating and bringing awareness to the suffering LGBT community around the world is how we can help, how we can be activists, how we can be active in change. And I always still, maybe it's the 20s, maybe it's just because like, what else can I do but I always still hope that we can do something and that things can change. And I just don't want it anymore. I'm tired of the hashtags. I'm tired. I want the hashtags to be like everybody happy, but everyone's actually happy or some shit like that.
A part of activism is to have hope. I will say that.
Yeah.
That is like a part of the revolution, that you can actually envision a better future. Because if you can't, then you just stop. So that is a very important part.
And exactly. And if we didn't have it, then... that it can only be the sound. And a lot of the things skipping a little bit, a lot of things get support by celebrities and social media when they've reached like these really extreme moments. Like we're watching people die or we're watching all these things happen. And I feel like if we're active in searching for information, if we're active in like, okay, I don't think that we should always be in crisis mode, but sometimes I think to myself, and this is the way that I think, like when things are fine with me, I have this moment where I'm like, I'm always thinking about if things are fine with me, I would want to know what's going on in the world or if everybody can feel this way. And I know that no matter what's going on, there's always someone else who needs help or there's always someone else who's I can read about or learn about or like bring attention to. So even in those moments of stillness, I'm not saying use all of your time to be actively consuming these negative negative information or like these really tragic things. But what I'm saying is those moments where you feel like I want to do something, that's when you should look at organization websites like Human Rights Watch, where they're posting information about things happening around the world daily, if not hourly. They have so much information from every single place in the world that's going on that they have access to. And starting these conversations, you could donate to organizations who are on the front lines and are helping. Like we mentioned before, their Safe HQ house. That's kind of hard to say, but it's fine. Safe. I got you. Safe
HQ. I like the pun of it all.
I do. I knew you would. You appreciate things like that. So, you know, they're out there doing things that I didn't even, you don't think about, but there are people who are totally affected by this. I don't think about it because that's a privilege that I have where it's just like, I'm also a queer person, but it's not outwardly facing. I'm not in Nigeria. I'm in America. Like, so there's so many things that like these organizations are created because there's a need. And it's just tough. And I just want to say, you know, I want things to be better. And I think exposing the ugliness is a step to making sure that ugliness goes away.
Yeah. Liberation for all of the people.
Thanks.
Yeah. Like I said, definitely check out the resources regarding NSARS that will be in the show notes for this episode. I'm also going to drop the link to the story about Egypt that Rodeca just told us about in the show notes for this episode too. We are American ass motherfuckers, so this is your introduction to these things, but forever and always actually listen to the people who are on the front lines of these things because they know way better than we do. So we are going to get into something a little bit lighter now. Penguins and the fact that they do be gay, though. But first, is the conversation in this episode so far resonating with you? Is it helping you learn some new shit? I sure hope so. Is it helping you unlearn some old shit? I hope so, too. Or just allowing you to have a good ass time? You say that it is? Wow, well, we love to hear that. We would also love for you to support the continuation of conversations like these. If you're listening to us on a podcast app, you can take a moment to subscribe to us and drop 5 stars and leave a rating for the homies. If you got a little extra change, you can drop some cash in the PayPal. Go to paypal.me/innerho, or you can come join our Patreon community and access our chat and virtual events for as low as $2 a month by going to patreon.com/innerhouprising. Those two links are in the show notes, or you can just hit up your friend and say, yo, listen to this podcast. We thank and love you all for your continued support. All right,
so
I'm excited for this.
I don't know if I'm gonna break the streak, but I feel like I have to commit to it because I've watched you and I've heard you guys do this, so I have to be a part of it.
I'm so excited. I'm so excited. About to get sexy.
It's about to get sexy. Oh, here, y'all. Okay. Ooh. All right. When our routines are changed, it's easy to forget to check in with yourself. How are you feeling? Do you need a break? If you need to hit pause and take a moment for yourself, Dipsy can help. Dipsy is an audio app full of short, sexy stories and guided sessions that are designed to turn you on and help you get in touch with yourself. The stories are relatable and immersive, so you feel like you're right there. And there's something for everyone, whoever and whatever you're into. They add new content every week, so there's always more to explore. Find stories about a spontaneous hookup with a hot stranger, getting closer with that sexy yoga instructor you can't stop thinking about, or even stories about that new toy together or getting tied up. The wellness sessions can also help you unlock your new confidence or heighten intimacy with your partner. They add new stories every week so you never get bored. So spice things up today with Dipsy. And for listeners of the show, Dipsy is offering a 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/IHU. That's a 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/IHU. dipsystories.com/IHU.
Ooh, it's getting hot in here. So take off all your clothes. I am getting so hot. I want to take my clothes off. And a little bit of, and a little bit of, and make it all out. And like, make it. I think that was really good. That was quite sexual.
Thank you. Thank you.
Let's talk about more gay shit of the lighter kind, not abuse, not tragic abuse anymore. But we're going to talk about the LGBP community, and that is lesbian, gay, bisexual penguins.
And away we go.
This article is from NBC News. The title and subtitle are Gay Male Penguins Steal Lesbian Couples' Eggs at Dutch Zoo. The gay male African penguins who made headlines last year when they stole an egg from a heterosexual couple have now stolen a lesbian duo's nest. I just want to give a big shout out to Wilson Wong for writing this fucking article. And the whole article is very amusing to me, and it's pretty short, so I'm just going to read it. All right, so it starts off, the gay penguins strike again.
That's it.
A pair of two male African penguins at a Dutch zoo who made international headlines last year when they stole an egg from a heterosexual couple have now stolen the nest of a lesbian duo in Darien Park, Amersfoort. That's in the Netherlands. Said in a Facebook post. So that's what that zoo said in a Facebook post. Zookeeper Sander Drost told Dutch News that the gay couple is taking turns sitting on the eggs to keep them warm. Isn't that so cute?
Yes.
But Draw said the eggs are likely unfertilized and will not hatch because they were laid by a lesbian penguin couple. Sad, 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 sad. Earlier this year, Drost told RTC Utrecht that the fathers were quite dominant. Here's a quote. Every couple has a house in the residence, but this couple has appropriated two houses, he said. And okay. I was like, that's patriarchy. These niggas is gay, but they're true. Still fucking men.
That's true.
Men, penguins taking up all the space. They're man spreading. They're penguin spreading. In November last year, two gay penguins took an egg from a straight couple who let their guards down, RTC Utrecht reported. The egg failed to bear a child, and the gay couple have yet to raise a chick together. Most penguin Aww. Species are monogamous for life and typically breed once or twice a year, said Marlene Zook. It's just all very cute. I gotta watch a Happy Feet after this. I want a Happy Feet spinoff about gay penguins.
Like
they could just be called Gay Feet.
Yes.
Because Happy
Feet. Yes.
Says Marlene Zook, a professor of ecology, evolution, and behavior at the University of Minnesota. Scientists do not know if the same sex behavior in penguins is common because all of the tiny creatures look the same in the wild. But Zook said it certainly has been observed at zoos. This isn't the first time a same-sex couple have nabbed a chick or egg from another duo. Another gay penguin couple at a Denmark zoo kidnapped a chick 2 years ago while its mother was swimming. That's kind of fucked up.
These are terrible. Like,
but they're
cute,
also
but,
kind
like,
of messed.
The underlying thing is like really sad because these families are losing their eggs.
These are like the beginnings of those Lifetime movies where it's like, I raised this person and then the kid finds out at 17, like, you're not my mom. I saw my face on the back of a milk carton. Take me to my real parents.
And it'll be things like, I've always loved you. And you think for a moment like, okay, they did raise you. It's like, wait, no, they have. Don't they do this. You. I do not feel sympathy.
Yeah, this is fucked up. The chick was later returned to its biological parents after but like by humans. These penguin niggas weren't gonna
they wasn't bringing them back at all.
After the heterosexual penguins came looking for their chick. Oh, or maybe that's what happened. Maybe the humans don't like
they came up like maybe they don't interfere.
Yeah, it's like fucking the real world or something like that. Like they're just a camera crew.
Just like, exactly. Like this.
Yo,
these niggas they still in eggs now, bro. Shit,
yeah, get a load of these guys.
What a day at work, yo. You're just like, You would not believe the drama. What happened, yo.
And in July last year, female same-sex penguin duo Rocky and Marama made headlines after adopting a chick at Sea Life Aquarium in London. The new mothers were in the spotlight again a few months later when their four-month-old became the world's first genderless penguin chick. So a little bit about that. Apparently, this is according to another article by NBC News, because NBC News loves some gay penguin articles. It's completely natural for penguins to develop genderless identities as they grow into mature adults. Despite this, however, newborn penguins are routinely given gendered names and colored tags at Sea Life by humans. Until now, that is, the adopted chick of Rocky and Marama have been tagged with a gender-neutral purple band for identification purposes. Shout out to the they-them fucking penguins. That is cute. I just thought Rocky and Marama were kind of gay names for penguins, so I also wanted to shout out to another gay-named gay penguin couple, Magic and Sven.
Oh, yes. Okay.
These are some mystical slash strippers. Just like...
Magic and Sven. What's Sven?
Isn't that like, isn't that from like Eastern Europe or something like that? Like, I imagine just like a vampire looking white man.
Oh, Sven, I think of like
Speedos.
Yes, Sven from Frozen. Yes, that's a Scandinavian first
name. Oh, that's why I'm imagining somebody blonde.
There you go. You got it. Okay. You got it. You got it. You're right there. That's, but it's, they spelled it a little weird. So I thought it was like something else, especially with Magic. I thought maybe they just like, they had a nerd in their midst. And
interesting.
There's some lore.
That that would be even more interesting.
Nah. Yeah, that's why I was like, oh, I want to know. But
etymology,
it's just
of gay penguin names. Anyway, let's wrap up this article. Zuck believes the same-sex African penguin couple just wanted to raise a family together. After all, being a part of a pair and raising a chick is deeply ingrained in being a penguin, she said. Oh, shucks.
It's like a smiled cringe because I'm like, yes, it's so sweet.
You baby,
like,
stealers.
Take the babies, baby stealers. Please.
I just love some animals do be gay, those stories. Maybe that should be a sub-segment. Dun, dun, dun.
Well, that would be fun, just finding gay animal stories. Oh.
We might have to add that as a fucking segment. That would take a load off of the trauma that is this year.
And it's just animals fun. It's automatically gay, fun.
And every single...
And we did that. We
did
that.
Coin that.
Yeah,
I got to trademark that. So... I got to trademark. We set some money aside to fucking trademark animals do be gay, though. but I love it because it's just fun. And I also love it because every single time I feel like it like punches a hotep in the face with this fucking.
Yep.
It's unnatural to be gay. Like, no, the fuck it's not. These niggas are in. Who's more natural than penguins, son? These niggas are in fucking Antarctica and South America. No, South Africa.
They have
sorry.
No outside and influence up in Antarctica. They're doing
exactly.
their own thing. No
Did
one's
the
fucking
white
with them.
Man come and colonize penguins to be gay? No. So let fucking Magic and Sven do their, like,
Do their thing.
What's the problem?
But unless they steal babies. But not their thing stealing. Yeah, don't do that. But, you know, living together.
Cohabitation. I love it. All right. Well, if you want Animals Do Be Gay, though, to be a new segment on Inner Hoa Uprising, yeah, let us know. But also, I'm doing it anyway. Because I just like it.
Let us know if you like the new idea we came up with. Not even at this point, don't even tell us if
oh,
you want it.
Oh, man.
You're
that
getting
is so
it.
So fun. Let us get into our next segment now. That is called Sam Presents Ass Media. That is a segment and a play on the term mass media. It is where I talk about book, TV, podcast, films. Sometimes I review them that relate to sex, love, dating, and or gender. And they are spoiler-free reviews. So Rodeca is going to come in and talk a little bit too.
Yes.
So these aren't full reviews, but they're a reminder to get your horror fix going. This week has been Hoa Week for Inner Hoa Uprising patrons on Patreon. So we've been doing some watch parties over there. And just shout out to our watch parties now. They've upgraded. You don't even need to have the app that the movie is on, okay? So back in the day with the Netflix watch parties, you had to have Netflix. This time, I have every fucking streaming service because I have a lot of good people in my life who give me their passwords. So I have Amazon, I got Hulu, I got Netflix, I got fucking Showtime. We've been watching everything everywhere. I got HBO, so like, you're in good hands over here, baby.
Come on over.
You're in good hands over here. But yeah, so we've been watching everything this week. We watched Abby. We watched Ma. We watched Tales from the Hood. We watched Bad Hair. And last night, we watched Blade. And for the purposes of this podcast, I'm going to highlight two very fun watches. So the first is Abby, which is a 1974 American blaxploitation horror film about a woman who is possessed by an African sex spirit. Yes, it is problematic. I'll talk about that a little bit later. Last year, we actually spoke to Monica Estrella Negra as a part of our Occult October series on the episode Black Women Are the Final Girls. So I'll link that in the show notes and you can hear Monica's take on Abby. But I just want to say, it is a blaxploitation film from the 1970s. Yes, it is problematic. It is going to be problematic. And yes, the acting is bad, but it is very fun to watch with others. And we just had a blast.
Just going in.
It was just, there was just like, the demon would like present itself as like a Nigerian wind in caves. And like, the rush of sex demonness would like fall over the main character and she would just
oh my god
it was extremely fucking ridiculous.
I really love ridiculous cringy
I love ridiculous
stuff.
Shit
it is my thing, yo.
I
really
love
do.
Ridiculous
the
shit.
Worse it is I was thinking about, and this is like, I guess we're in the spirit of like talking about shit that we want to do or like thinking about doing, like, yeah. If y'all want, yo, because me and Sam both like this shit and all of us like it, I'm sure Robin and Cool would be down too.
Yeah,
like we will watch cringy shit and just fucking laugh about it, son. Like it's a good time. There's so many different like undercut, like low budget shit that you don't know about,
deep cut shit,
and
yeah.
They're so good.
Yeah,
so good.
And the good thing about deep cut shit is that, I mean, honestly, yes, the niggas who made Abby deserve to get paid. But also, yes, we are in a fucking pandemic and niggas don't got money like that. And Sam is not casting for y'all every day. Abby's on YouTube for free.
There you
not
go.
One of those fucking oh pay for it YouTube movies. It's on YouTube
oh,
for free.
Oh shit.
So
like, also, we don't have to worry about like, oh yeah. Somebody's like, ah, this movie was expensive. You can't talk about this. Nah.
Well, here's a fun fact that Corey, one of our patrons, dropped in the chat. I think it was like made for like maybe like $300K, and this fucking film Abby made like $4 million.
Whoa. Good for
like,
them.
Talk about a come up.
Yeah.
And then something weird happened where like the people who made The Exorcist, I think Monica talks about this on the episode, but the people who made The Exorcist, because it's kind of similar, like bitches getting possessed and acting wild. I believe the people who made The Exorcist sued the people who made Abby because they were like, ah, you stole our thing. I don't know if they stole it or not.
Okay.
And they had to like shut down something. I don't know. Niggas got sued.
That sucks.
This is a little bad film history for you. Niggas got sued. I don't know. But in the realm of ridiculous horror films, let's talk a little bit about Bad Hair. So Bad Hair is a 2020 American comedy horror film written, directed, and produced by Justin Simien. Came out like last week. The plot is terror strikes when a woman's new hair weave seems to take a life on its own. My short little take before I open the door to let Rebecca chime in. It is a campy, fun watch that takes place in the 80s, plays off of 80s horror vibes. Everyone and their mama is fucking in this movie.
Yo, it's
like every scene, it was like, oh, you're in this too?
It was a new cut to a new room, and it was like, everyone would just turn around and go, yes, I'm in this movie too.
Right?
Yes, I'm in this movie too.
Damn.
And it was just like everybody, yo. I was sitting there, I Google everything as I'm watching. I'm like, yo, you was in this day, that's crazy.
You know, another thing about this, I looked at it earlier. I think the budget was only $8 million. So
what?
I think people were just in this
they
for
were just
fun.
Like, fuck it, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think they, like, got paid or anything. Like, they were just like, let's have a good time.
And earlier
I love shit
on,
like
there's,
that.
Like, a music video, and you're like, oh, that's funny. Like, you know how they do it in Insecure, so there's, like, a scene within a
yeah,
scene.
Yeah,
I, was,
a scene
I didn't think
scene,
they were
going
to,
yeah.
like, talk about it again. So I was just, like, having a good time with that. But, yeah, mm-hmm. it's, like, a lot. It's a lot
yeah.
of people.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, the plot, as stated earlier, is just hair is killing niggas, and that's kind of funny to me. Like, that's kind of funny. So it's definitely fun to watch with other people. And my advice would be don't take it too seriously or expect some cutting edge, get out Jordan Peele level social commentary. Well, what did you think about it?
Which I think that they, like when I saw the ad, I don't know if they took themselves seriously. I hope they aren't.
This movie did not take itself seriously.
I'm thinking
it's,
so.
To me, it's quite obvious that this movie did not.
But when I saw the trailer, I definitely was expecting, but that could be because, you know, Jordan Peele has come into the game and has like kind of changed the genre a bit and made it more like, as soon as I see black horror, I'm like, all right, this is going to be something Jordan Peele-esque. But I love that it was campy. I was like, yes. I was like,
I love a campy horror film.
And it was like, there was no way they were trying to make things look super realistic or whatever.
Yeah.
What I really liked was, I liked there's like a story that's kind of interwoven into it. And it made me want to like look into other stories that could be similar and kind of
like the lore.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Like lore. Yeah. And just, I like the imagery and stuff. Blair Underwood is in this movie and he is just a fucking fine man, yo. So seeing him in any, like, like even for 5 minutes in this, I was like, okay, I'm having a great time.
I was expecting him to be a trash ass nigga. You'll find out if you watch it.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he's a trash ass nigga.
But he's just like, he's in it, but they're like, there's this imagery that like kind of goes in. It's like a visual motif. Exactly. So that type of stuff was really fun. It can't have taken itself seriously. There's just no way.
No.
And it's just like, I mean, even though it's not like, this cutting edge, like, oh, you're gonna learn a lesson. It is kind of like just the talking.
It still says something about black life.
It definitely
and
does.
That we all relate to. And yeah, it's like, it's a nuanced commentary of what it means to be black and have hair and be a woman.
And the opening scene, oh man, we're not gonna spoil anything, but it's just something that, like, if you've ever gotten your hair done,
there's a lot of relatable moments.
And you're just and like, and I was like, that's so funny. Cute that they made this horror, because it's not fun. Like, it does.
Yeah,
like, you
it
know
actually
what I mean?
Is horrific. Like, it's getting at some very painful things that if you are black and a woman and have done things to your hair, you know what the fuck we're talking about.
And
I was like,
so
wow,
fun.
That's like really where the horror lied for me. Like, there were some parts where I was like, oh God, can't look.
and that's why it was like, that's what made it even more fun, because it was just like, that was the scene. Some things, exactly. And some of the scenes was just that, with some like music under it. And you're like, oh,
but
man.
Like shot in a really horrific
exactly,
way. I was like,
exactly.
Yeah, this shit, it does hurt.
Yeah.
It's,
so I definitely had a good time watching it. I would recommend it. And like Sam, just don't go into it going like, oh man, like, let me learn some things today. It's just like, have a fun time. And I did have a fun time, especially with all the cameos and like Lena, what is it?
Waith.
There you go. Yeah. She was funny. She's in it. There's a lot of people who you're just like, all right, they're funny. And this,
it's cool
time.
To keep being like, oh, you too? Oh, you too?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's exactly what it was. So that it's fun. Yeah.
I guess I only watched the trailer once, so maybe that is what I took from it. But I think I'm very like, okay, once you start to present yourself to me, I'm going to believe what you're telling me. So I didn't really know what the fuck to expect going in. But as soon as it was like, oh, this is ridiculous, I was like, oh, hey, we're having a ridiculous good time. I also just quickly want to say that Get Out was cutting edge social commentary. But I'm not sure if that is what Peele's brand is going forward. And I don't know if he's ever told us that. So we should believe him, because
that's
us
true.
Was not cutting any social commentary.
Nope. I think maybe, and I think when he tried to put
comments were made, points were made,
points were made, and like the hands
us was
America
not
was
fucking
like
Get Out,
thing.
Bro.
Us was not Get Out at all, and like,
and I need some motherfuckers to stop acting like it was,
because they, it's that typical shit where people are just like, okay, this was made up by the same person. I have to sound a certain way so that people don't think like. I don't know what I'm talking about, but by saying that it's similar, we know you don't know what you're talking about. Like, they're not similar in any type of way. Get Out is just like a standalone. Holy shit, this is a great movie with it. Like, it's fresh. It's all that type of stuff. And it's hilarious in some moments. It's just a good movie. And Us, I'm not saying it's a bad movie. I need to start walking into
it
things
with
no expectations.
Issues.
Yes.
Yes. Walking into things without expectations. It
there
had issues. And I think that I was expecting Us to be of a Get Out caliber.
Yes.
And that is why I 100%. Was disappointed in it. Here's a big tangent. But I have nowhere else to put this because I have not started like a media podcast yet. But sometimes I want to say stuff and I don't use Twitter. The Boys season 2
oh my God.
Was a trash fire. Did you watch it?
It was
It was so fucking bad.
It was so fucking bad, bro.
But season one was so good.
Thank you. So this is where it needs to be right
halfway
here.
Halfway through, I'm like, me and my brother would watch it. I'd just be like, oh, it's comedy at this point. Like, oh, The Boys season two is not what The Boys season one was.
2,000 years later.
So we accidentally did a whole entire review of The Boys season two. It was, what did you say, like 30, 40 minutes?
Just about, yeah.
We are going
to... We were emboldened and passionate about it.
Because it was very bad, and season one was very good. So we're going to link to that in the show notes for this episode, because it will be up on our YouTube channel if that kind of shit is your motherfucking thing. Maybe we'll do more things like that. I don't know. We'll see.
Let us know. Yeah. I'm down.
Me too. Okay, so yeah, definitely watch Bad Hair and Abby. All right, now we're going to get into our last segment, and that is a segment that we call Fuck You. It is where we read your listener letters. If you would like to ask us for some advice, share your hotels, or rant against the white cishet patriarchy, you can send your thoughts to ichewpodcast@gmail.com. Please include your pronouns, also because we are in the future. You can leave us a voicemail, and we'll play it and respond to it on the show. You can drop us a line at 404-491-9158. That email address and number is in the show notes. All right. So today we have a letter from Chris. Chris's pronouns are she and her, and the subject is watch me be insecure about my bisexuality. So Chris writes, "Hi hoes, I really love the show. You all are insightful, funny, and very honest. Thank you for all your time, emotional labor, and research. It really makes the show great." Thank you. I'm a 23-year-old black bisexual woman. I realized I was bi in college. Since then, I've pretty much only dated women and have been having a good time. And then COVID happened and I moved from a city back home to a very white suburban Trump loving area. So I've been spending a lot of time grinding it out on my vibrator, which is fine. My issue is that I've been noticing all my fantasies are about cis men. I'm not really against it, but it's frustrating and confusing that porn and erotica, etc., are of other people doesn't really get me off. In my actual dating life, I don't have this issue. Like, I've had and enjoyed sex where there is no cis man to be found, but my fantasies don't reflect that. I also can't seem to create any new fantasies of any new people, so I just keep going back to my old ones. Any thoughts on why this is happening and how to get more creative / expand what I fantasize about? Or am I trying to force myself to like other things just to prove how queer I am? Let a bitch know. Chris, she, her.
My quick thought, bisexuality, pansexuality, anything that involves liking, being sexually attracted to more than one gender at the same time can very much feel like you're trying to prove something. Mm-hmm. But we always have to remember the baseline of fluidity. There will be seasons, there will be times that I don't even know why I like this. And it's just happening constantly. You just have to allow yourself. Don't be too hard on yourself.
Yeah.
We don't know why we like cis men. If we knew why, we'd probably figure out how to fix that. I don't know. But it happens, yeah. You know, like that. I don't think it means that you're lacking anything. I don't think that it means that your feelings are changed about people other than cis men. I think this is just the season. Sometimes it's just the default because it's just kind of media just like throwing mm-hmm. that at you anyway. So all of those things that it could be a plethora of reasons. In terms of like finding out how to add more content if you're not interested in watching other people have sex, and you can't really create these new experiences. I don't know, kind of maybe think about your old experiences and tweak them a bit and start from there just because that's your baseline. If you want to change something about it or even what we were thinking, putting yourself and looking at it from a new perspective. What really gets me off a lot of the time, I don't think I've ever said this, but I...
Let me hide my face again, actually.
No, it's fine. I very much like to...
Just for the humor.
I very much like to think about any type of sex that I might have had or am having or watching someone on porn, I always think about it from the top's perspective, just because that's a unique thing. And granted, even though it's the same experience, I'm always thinking like, man, and I don't know if that makes me a little like narcissist, whatever. But I'm just like, they're looking down at me and that's hot. So that's cool. You know, like I was like, man, it's both of us. So that's, I'm like, you know, you can definitely refresh it or like even think about that same sexual experience and you have your perspective, but think about what it would have been like for a person sitting in the corner and they're like, oh, I wonder what they were thinking that we were doing. You can definitely create a new fantasy and something that you've already experienced. Because memories replay themselves all the time. It doesn't mean you can't make them more interesting.
That's so true.
That's
really fun. Wow, I never thought about it like that. What an imagination you got there.
It's up there. It's, my mind is crazy. I'm always thinking about stuff like that. So I was like, you can use that in a fun way. Like, definitely. Because sometimes you don't, mine is the exact opposite. I really cannot just think about something and go, okay, like I can get my nut off. I can't, I have to watch it. Mm-hmm. Even if I'm like watching it just to place another face on it, or just to like, but I have to have like that.
Some
that
sort of aid.
Exactly. I can't just do it off the top of my head, but you know, everyone's different. Yeah. So you just got to work with what you got and you can make it a little more fun.
Yeah. That was really good advice.
Thanks.
I said if your current fantasies are getting you off, I don't see any pressing reason why you should change or expand them, especially since they're not hindering your ability to achieve pleasure both solo and partnered. So I would actually say like take some time to unpack why that's frustrating you. And I think you kind of hit the nail on the head at the end when you were like, am I just being insecure about my bisexuality? I think maybe you might be. And maybe like once you get, you know, like when you don't want to think about something, you think about it more. Like intrusive thoughts. Like maybe if you get, I love intrusive thoughts. Not really though. But like maybe if you get past that blockage of feeling insecure, then it won't be like injecting itself into your brain so much. Like I'm not a fucking psychologist. This is all just like conjecture or whatever. But maybe that like getting past that might open you up to a wider variety of fantasies. Also, when you were like, maybe it's just in you because of what society places on you in the media, like I definitely think that's probably like a huge part of it. So you know, maybe right now you're like, nothing else gets me off, but like still watch them, you know, in your free time. And like familiarity breeds contempt, but also familiarity breeds attractiveness, like you know that theory of like if you keep seeing someone's face they get more hot to you. So like even if it's not like your masturbatory aid, like engage in some non-cis men kind of porn and stuff like that, or read some non-cis men erotica, or listen to some non-cis men audio stories via Dipsy. We're not gonna read another ad but like so kind of get more comfortable and familiar with engaging in that kind of stuff. Also, another thing that you can do if you're in communication and still in that, you know, sexy kind of vibe with people who you used to fuck with back when you lived in whatever city you were in, like maybe have some like FaceTime sessions with them or ask them to trade nudes or something like that, or like Snapchats or something and masturbate to that maybe.
Yeah.
Well, Chris, we hope it works out for you, whatever it is, and keep us updated. If this episode made you laugh, helped you learn something, made you feel good, made you question yourself in a good way, or positively moved you in any sense, please leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher. If you're on YouTube, subscribe to us. Rate this video with a like. Remember 5 stars?
5 stars.
Yeah,
yes,
that used to be a thing.
I do.
And let everyone know that you love these hoes. We appreciate all of you.
And if you would like to follow us on social media, you can do so at Inner Hoe Uprising without the G on Twitter, Inner Hoe Uprising on Instagram and Facebook. You can join our Facebook group by searching Inner Hoe Uprising, CUMMUNITY. And head over to innerhoeuprising.com to pay ho.
Where can we find
you? That's what you can do there. You can find me, Rodeca, pronouns she and her, at Instagram, on Instagram, at The Darkest Timeline, or Twitter at Existing Crisis.
Yes, yes, and you can follow me at Sam Ridd on Instagram and Twitter, where you can see my super cool Halloween cosplays.
Yes.
A new one will be coming on Wednesday.
This nigga is cool as fuck, y'all. Oh my God.
Cosplays do be fun though, and you can check them out on at SlamRid, both of which will be in the show notes. We love you guys. Have a good week. Bye.
Bye.